Carna Carna. That you? You're here? Everything is all right? Not too strenuous for you?
Well.
Yeah, I can see. I notice. Yes. All right. Everyone looks jolly and bright-faced. Sure advice from the Christmas marathon. You're here also. Very good. How are you? How are things going? Helping out here a little? Good, that's very good. Yeah. Of course, if you're going to be a trendy manager in any kind of way, then you're supposed to catch people doing things right. You've heard that one? Yes, catch people doing things right, and then you mention it, as opposed to catch people doing things wrong. So, naturally, from the material point of view, if someone's always catching you doing something wrong, you start to get a bit discouraged. It takes a lot of love and appreciation to put up with someone who's always catching you doing something wrong. That's the way human psychology is. But if you catch someone doing something right, then they always remember that. You notice that tendency? If someone points out something right you do, wow, that's really good. You know, you feel so nice, don't you? But if all the time someone's pointing out your mistakes, you get a bit grouchy and... But it's the job of both material and spiritual parents to correct. Sometimes the material children of material parents don't appreciate correction. I'm sure you all can remember times when you were corrected by your parents. Why, these days you say parent. Most families are single parent families. So you can probably remember you were corrected by your parent and you didn't appreciate it all the time. But it's the duty of both kinds of parents to correct the children. Jagannath Mishra said this about his son Nimai. He would discipline his son, correct him, and then he had a dream one night in which a brahmana was saying to him, "Your son, he's complete in knowledge. He's self-effulgent in all knowledge. So what is the use in trying to educate him and correct him?" And Nanda Maharaj replied that, "Even if it is so that my son is self-effulgent and complete in knowledge, still, I'm the father, he's my son. I must correct him." Because he had that Vatsalya Ras parental relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he did not abandon that for anything. Similarly in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they would take care of Krishna as if Krishna was completely dependent on them. And sometimes there would be an anxiety. How is Krishna doing as he's playing with his friends in Vrindavan? He's crawling on the ground. There could be sharp tools. There could be monkeys. There could be so many things that could hurt him as he crawls through the grass of Braj. Mm. if Krishna was late coming home for lunch, Mother Yashoda would go out and get him, and she would chastise him. Krishna, you're acting like you have no home. Why are you late? Your father is ready to take lunch. He doesn't take lunch without you. Where are you? Don't you have a home? That is the nature of Vatsalya Ras, parental love of Krishna. That the devotee thinks he's responsible for maintaining and protecting Krishna. Who maintains and protects everyone? It's not always easy to correct or to give advice, to give guidance. You all will find that out as you become more proficient in your Krishna conscious duties, and you have to help others based on your experience. You'll find that not everyone wants the benefit of experience. There's a big human tendency to want to reinvent the wheel. I was discussing this point with His Holiness Sri Ram Maharaj in New Vrajadam in Hungary, at the farm there. We were discussing how it seems that the present generation of devotees, the younger devotees, you can help them avoid so many problems because, you know, we old timers have seen it all. We've seen all the movies, reruns again and again, more than 30 years. So, and naturally we have a desire to spare you all from all the, surprises and shocks in life and all the pitfalls. And we might think that, oh, yes, they'll be so eager to hear the benefit of our experience. But actually, it's not like that all the time. Every new generation, to some degree, wants to reinvent the wheel. It's all part of growing up. Maybe you can remember when you were teenagers. If you had good parents or a good parent, they would tell you, oh, now, don't get so caught up in this. It's just a passing phase. Any of you hear something like that? Back in the more traditional times of Western so-called culture, especially when there was teenage romance, good parents would always caution their teenage kids, now don't get too much into it. You'll find out it's going to pass away. But when you were into it as a teenager, you just couldn't believe it, especially the first experiences of Rajagun. Seems like it's going to go on forever, right? I remember kind of like the pop songs from the 50s, but where they have these young people singing, the pop songs. We're 16 and we want to get married. The grown-ups, they don't understand. They think we're too young to fall in love. So it's always like that, that the parents, if they're good, they want to shield their dependents from so many possible crises and pitfalls. That instinct is natural. But also, the instinct of the younger generation is also natural. That, just because you did it your way doesn't mean we have to do it that way. It's different for us. That, to some degree, that feeling is going to be there. So I was discussing with Sri Ram Maharaj how he was explaining how he would like to point out certain things. Oh, we did this 20 years ago, and I know how it's going to turn out. And you think everybody would, really? Not exactly. It depends. Some disciples are very eager to take guidance and counseling. Others, they just have this, you know, thing in them. They gotta do their thing. They just gotta see it their way. Well, the spiritual parent has to work with all that. How to give instruction to persons who may say, Ojai Guru Maharaj, all glories, but they're not able to take direct instruction. So it gets a bit tricky, because if your spiritual master gives you an instruction and you don't follow it, it's an offense. So that means the spiritual master has to be a bit calculating. Well, if I don't give the person an instruction, they're going to have problems. But if I do give instruction and they don't follow it, they're going to have problems. So what to do? So it takes a bit of finesse and a bit of maneuvering. Of course, when the disciple is submissive, then things are easy. Then the spiritual master can reveal his mind. But otherwise, if the disciple is... Often, the devotees come to their spiritual master with their whole program already worked out in their mind. And they just want some blessings for it. So then, what can you say? Yes, yes, sounds very nice. Oh, Hare Krishna. That will always be there. It's like karma yoga. You're attached to acting in a certain way, but you offer the results to Krishna. Nevertheless, there is a higher standard. Full bhakti, which is rare in this world, pure bhakti means whatever Krishna wants, however Krishna wants it. That's why Srila Prabhupada said that if all my disciples would do what I wanted, Krishna consciousness could take over the world in 18 days. That's the power of proper guru-disciple relationship. He said that. 18 days, Krishna consciousness could take over the world if all my disciples would do what I wanted. So don't think just because someone is wearing dhoti, sari, neck beads, that means they are wanting guidance and they want to be instructed. Not like that. And it also changes. Some years a devotee wants guidance, some other years no. Sleepy bee. I'm going through a phase now. And then it can switch back and forth. Particularly when devotees take up household life, often they can become overwhelmed by the experience, and so they just kind of tune out. If they're lucky, they will have they'll be part of a thriving association of householders who can keep everyone fresh. The Vedic principle is that just as a good parent must correct the child, similarly the spiritual master must correct the disciple. It's done as service to Krishna. Otherwise, obviously, if you simply want to be liked, you don't correct people. Then you'll be very much appreciated. You don't correct. Jai, all glories. Everyone is so nice. Whatever you want to do, just do it for Krishna. That is correct advice for those on a certain level. Those on a higher level, you can give specific instruction. In this way, we have to learn how to deal with all different types of persons with different levels of aspiration. Some persons just want to chant Hare Krishna and live their own life as they like in all aspects. There'll be persons like that. You have to know how to deal with that. Others are smart. They understand. If I'm sick, I need the instructions of a doctor. So you have to be able to watch for that also. And then see how people go from one camp to the other. You have to be able to see all that if you're going to effectively give Krishna conscious counsel. And we do hope that all of you will be able to give Krishna conscious counsel. But don't make the mistake of thinking everyone is just dying to get advice. Oh, if I only would have advice, then my situation would be okay. No. Nature of the conditioned soul means rebelliousness. What does the Lord say in Bhagavad Gita? Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena parta. All living entities are born into this world overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. We've discussed this psychological situation before. What do they desire? They desire to envy Krishna. I want to be like Krishna. I want Krishna's pleasure. I want Krishna's enjoyment. And what do they hate? They hate Krishna's instructions. This is the psychology of the conditioned soul. This is what you're dealing with in Sankirtan, preaching, like that. So understand it. Try to see it in yourself also. Bhakti yoga is difficult to practice properly in the material world without guidance. Practically impossible. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatena Praniprasnina Sevaya. If you want to understand all the ins and outs about the different yajnas that were explained in the fourth chapter of the Gita, then Krishna says you need to approach a guru. You approach a guru not to make a material solution to your life, but to end the material implications and entanglements of your life and become attached to Krishna's service. So that has to be there, correction. Actually, to correct someone doesn't necessarily mean you don't like the person. Correction can mean that you actually appreciate the person. Otherwise you wouldn't take the trouble to correct. Because if you simply wanted to be popular, you wouldn't correct. So, we have to be able to see when the correction is based on care and when the correction is just based on putting someone down. There's a difference. So I was thinking tonight, should I say something about certain things? It won't be good for my PR. I want to be appreciated. I want everyone to think, oh, he's a nice person. He's a nice guy. But that's sense gratification because that's not my service. Service is to act in such a way that Krishna will think I'm a nice guy. That means I have to work. I have to do my job, which is to point out certain things. Of course, everything is not simply about correction. It's also about encouragement, appreciation. Krishna consciousness is the real love religion. So, the spiritual master wants to teach the devotees how to love each other by showing love for the devotees. Apparently, bhakti yoga is based on rules and regulations, but the actual heart of bhakti yoga is love. Without following the rules and regulations, I will never understand what real love is. Sometimes when people first come to Krishna consciousness, they just think it's a bunch of rules and regulations. I can't be natural. I can't be spontaneous. Anyone feel like that? Yes. Anyone else? You felt like that? I imagine that. Where's Sarah? You felt like that? Yeah. Why does it have to be a rule for everything, right? As if there's no rules in material life? It's like here in England. Every time you try to do something, you have to file a paper, you know, wait 10 years for the paper to come back, and then, just do this and refile. So many rules. Just so somebody can justify having a job. Being a part of the bureaucracy. In Krishna consciousness, though, the rules are there for creating a situation of purity, creating a situation in which we can feel attraction for Krishna. All the rules and regulations have the purpose of helping us to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. But in the beginning, we don't know that. We think, yeah, I may have some problems, but I'm not that bad. So I'll take the Krishna consciousness, make a few minor adjustments, and go on basically the same way. Then what happens if you are a truthful devotee, sincere devotee, Krishna starts showing you so many things in your heart. You thought you were a nice person. Yeah. A few things need to be corrected, nothing major, you know. And then Krishna gives you a glimpse of the darkest chambers of your heart. You see all these monsters. You just go, oh my God. If you can see what's going on in your heart, that's Krishna's mercy upon you. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Teshama Ivanukam Partam Aham Jnana Jamtama Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Pashvata. Krishna says, out of compassion for you, I'll let you see what's going on in your heart. I'll turn on the torch of knowledge and let you see what's actually happening in the innermost chambers of your heart out of compassion. When I turn on this shining lamp of knowledge, it will destroy the darkness of ignorance. You'll be able to see what's troubling you. That's a great step forward, as I always explain to devotees, to be able to see what's troubling you and then deal with it. Most people cannot see what's troubling them. They don't understand that their problems in life are caused by the dirty things in the heart. And the number one dirty thing in the heart is thinking, I am this body. So yes, rules and regulations must be there. But the whole driving force behind the rules and regulations should be real love. Real love will cause you to feel that I don't want you. to suffer. How many of you had that feeling before of not wanting others to suffer? It's a powerful motive. And in Krishna consciousness, so much service is done on that motive that we don't want to see others suffer. That's why Krishna says, Natchasasma Manusheshu Kashchime Priyakritama. No one is more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear to me than the one who teaches my glories to others. Because in order to spread Krishna's glories, you have to have this feeling that I don't want people to suffer. And this is what people feel from you. They'll listen to you effectively when they feel that you don't want them to suffer. Have you ever felt that from someone before? It's a very powerful thing. First of all, you're shocked that someone really cares for you. And secondly, you're quite pleased that someone is actually thinking how you can lessen your tribulations in this world. We should cultivate this feeling more that we don't want others to suffer, therefore we're reaching out to others, even at our own inconvenience. Krishna likes to see that. You know in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Vasudev Dutt. He had this feeling. He said, I will not go back to Godhead. Let me stay here and suffer the sinful reactions for everybody. Let them go. I'll stay and take all their sinful reactions upon me. He didn't say, only for those who believe in me. He said, everyone, let me stay in this material world and suffer the sinful reactions of all the living entities. Let them go back to Godhead. These are the powerful, inconceivable feelings of a Vaishnava. So we should also follow in that line according to our measure. The Vasudev Dutt was an extraordinary person, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. We can also, in our own little way, follow that conviction. How can we just sit around idly while people are destroying themselves? We can't do that. Therefore, we want to give them the best hope in life, the best treatment. We want to give them Krishna consciousness. And just briefly, some small things you did wrong. You actually don't call your spiritual master by his name, whether you're chanting or in conversation, you're talking to him like that. You always use a title, Guru Maharaj or Gurudev. So, just like if I go to New Rajadham in Hungary, they greet me, and they, you know, they sing Jai Gurudev, and they offer some puja like that. Any senior Vaishnava you respect in that way. And of course you can't offer Arti without the picture of your spiritual master there is always not art. You know that. I forgot for the moment. And pictures of your guru that you're offering to, the feet should be there because you approach the feet. That's a Vedic expression of respect. It's like when you first look at the deity, you look at the feet and raise your vision. Similarly, you begin your meditation upon your guru at the feet. I remember when Srila Prabhupada came into my office at the BBT when he was taking his tour, and I would just look at his feet. And then you can raise your vision. That's all these proper behaviors are there to produce a proper consciousness. But you know, in Western so-called culture, everyone has this gut feeling that I know what to do, and yeah, I'm just being natural, I'm being genuine. But actually, people are more confused and bewildered about themselves than ever before. Isn't it amazing? They think they feel so natural in the grip of Maya, when actually they're so confused more than ever before. I know me. I know who I am. I'm in touch with my feelings. Yes, they're in touch with Rajagun, Tamagun, passion, ignorance. And the modes of nature give them a false sense of self-awareness. You're not aware of yourself, you're aware of passion and ignorance. And you mistake that as yourself. Like sometimes, I remember my former years, I would see or read interviews with music stars, and I used to always be amazed. Of course, we know there a big part of the motivation is money, but a lot of them would say, you know, I only sing songs that I feel. You heard them say like that? I only sing songs that I feel. I'm genuine. And they feel a kind of pride in that. If it's not a song that is me, then I'm not going to sing it. But what is the use in being so smug and proud about these artificial feelings that the modes of nature instill in you, invest in you? Maya's made an investment in us, passion and ignorance, and we identify with that investment as ourself. That is the problem. So the rules and regulations, the proper ways of doing things and dealing with things are there. So the real feelings will come out. In bhakti yoga, we don't go around just wondering, where is the love? Where is the love? Where did the love go? That's always a constant preoccupation in material life. Where's the love? Where'd all the love go? The world needs love. Where is it? We don't do like that. What we are doing is actively taking up the techniques for bringing about real love. So please don't forget what the purpose of all the rules and regulations is. So that we can love. But that requires some humility in the beginning to accept that due to contamination, one may not know what real love is. For those of you who really want to advance in Krishna consciousness, can recommend to you that don't suit yourself. Don't perform activities just because they seem to make you feel good. Always think how others can receive the benefit of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And that way, actually, you'll come to know more about yourself than by any other way. To simply suit yourself means living a selfish life. But to always try to go the distance for others, then you start to see the glories of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement very clearly. It's like, why are we going through all this trouble so that some devotees can learn how to teach yoga? So we can reach out and get people to serve Krishna. So we can reach out and at least get some of them to even take up the rules and regulations. So then they can love. Now how are you going to inspire them to do that? You yourself have to come to grips with this love thing and rules and regulations and what the relationship is. Then you can radiate and beam the proper consciousness. Yes, we have rules and regulations because we're lovers. You have to be able to beam that, project that. Yeah, we're interested in love. That's why we have rules and regulations. Then people will be very curious. Ooh. Rules and regulations and love. How does that go together? Other than passion and ignorance, people have no idea what real love is. I remember one of our guests here was one Sunday program was talking to me. And she was saying, well, isn't it just natural when you see something full of life, you just want to grab it? That was love, you know? Something has got life and liveliness, so you just want to grab it for yourself. Yeah. That's what people think is love. Love means service. So, certainly we want to show our commitment to love by the way we treat our own devotees. You notice how it's easy to snap at devotees? You ever notice that? Because you're with them all the time. So it's easy to start snapping at them. It's easy to get into a rut, get into a pattern of, you know, snapping at devotees and you're always doing this, you're always doing that. The way to get over that is to try to serve all the devotees. Then gradually, as your real love builds in your heart, due to serving everyone, your behavior changes. We want the kind of association that will attract others. First, you have to care for yourself, and then learn how to care for others. So, we care for all the devotees. If someone coughs or has the sniffles, someone just coughed here. First, I heard someone. Who was that? Who? Huh? That was you. So, naturally, what do you think? Oh, she's sick? She's not feeling well? That's being considerate, not that, that, anyway, she's not the body, so what do we care? If you see Karna Karna limping a bit and, you know, looking a little exhausted. You say something. Oh, yoga classes are a bit tough for you, huh? And then if someone would say that to you, what would you think? Yeah, of course. Well, sometimes devotees, you know, they just, anyway, we're all transcendental. Just bite your lip. if we're all transcendental, that means we're all caring for each other. The more advanced a devotee you become, the more a carer you become. And that's what attracts people and gets them to sign on to the rules and regulations. They see the care. They see the love. Please remember this point. All the rules and regulations of the Vedic scriptures are meant simply to help you always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That means love, because you can only always remember and never forget someone you love. But to love requires humility. The humility enough to understand that we don't know anything about love until we become purified. It's hard for some people to accept. Some people actually freak out because of the rules and regulations. Like, it's too much. It's repressive. It's artificial. In other words, what they're saying is, I feel much better when passion is flowing spontaneously. That's what they're really actually saying. Is that why people, they like to go clubbing and drink and dance, because they think this is all natural? Is that so? Do we have any ex-clubbers here besides Simon? Any others? Yeah. Is that what, you know, they actually think they're feeling natural, or no?
Yeah.
Go for what?
Go with the instincts.
Go with the instincts. And the alcohol, the drugs are all helping to bring out the natural self. Is that it? This is the contamination that persons coming to Krishna consciousness may have. So therefore they get a bit glum and they get a bit sad about the rules and regulations, like as if Krishna is interfering with real pleasure. How can Krishna interfere with real pleasure when Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure? We interfere with real pleasure. We think we know what pleasure is. And Krishna has interfered with our program. All right, we may have had a few hard times in the material world. It happens to the best of persons. Why does that mean that we have to accept Krishna's version completely? What's that verse you were quoting today, Simon? Translation.
One of us able to control, and one of us free from attachment and free from delusions, and able to control the senses by the principle of freedom, can attain the fullness of the Lord.
Yes, you can attain the full mercy of the Lord by following the regular principles of freedom. But why is it that one may feel restriction by these rules and regulations? Because we think the expansive life, the broad life, the dynamic life is all tied up with the motive passion. That is a mistake. There's such a joy in Krishna consciousness to be able to care for others, even if it's not always appreciated. Such a joy. I'm very happy that so many of you are tasting that joy. We want that you get such a taste from caring for others, for administering the needs of others, that regardless of whatever phases you go through in your life, you'll always remember that taste. It's like everyone knows, for example, the ladies, everyone knows practically almost every lady will marry. But if they can just look back on these years, these were the best years of my life. Then your time as a single person in Krishna consciousness was very successful then. And hopefully everyone will get such a taste from distributing Krishna consciousness to others that even in whatever phase of life they go through, they'll keep that up to some degree. That'll be very wonderful. But there'll be different types of persons with different types of responses. No doubt it's an amazing thing to feel Krishna's pleasure. To feel when Krishna says, no one is more dear to me than the one who spreads my glories. To feel that. There's nothing like it. So my desire is that everyone, no matter what phase of life you're in, brahmachari, brahmachrini, gyastha, vanaprastha, nyasa, everyone gets this powerful taste of reaching out to others. And you can, in some way, push on in that way all your life. Any questions? If you understand that you're a patient in a hospital, then naturally you want instructions from the doctor how to get well. Suppose you went to a hospital and you were sick and no doctor ever came to interview you and ask, what's wrong with you? And what are your symptoms? What are you going through? You would think it's quite strange, right? Similarly, Krishna consciousness is quite strange without a proper guru-disciple relationship. At the same time, you should know that not everybody wants that. Even they may be initiated and have a Sanskrit name. They may not actually want guidance, because when you get guidance, it means you're responsible to try to act on it.